The Kappa J Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone. Woo.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. I'm David Kaplan. Hoodie is on vacation. Enjoy your time in the Indiana Dunes, my man. Double C, Courtney Cronin. Our Bears insider, football savant, is here. We've got Shay, we've got Jake, and we're ready for a three-hour ride. Courtney, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. I like these early mornings. These are my favorites.
This is the best.
I love when you can start your day. And I actually noticed this earlier, because when you and I do our weekly hits, so mm-hmm. do two of them, mm-hmm. 8:35 a.m. on Mondays, 8:35 a.m. on Fridays, I sound so different. Because unless you're like up and moving and you know, getting your voice prepped, I sound like four octaves lower, which I have a low voice to begin with for mm-hmm. a woman. Mm-hmm. So like getting to come in studio, I'm like, okay, I'm going to actually sound like myself. People are going to recognize what my voice sounds like, and I sound normal. So I appreciate being able to come in and do the show with you here.
What time do you normally wake up?
Between 5:45 and 6:15, because I like to get a morning workout in. Uh-huh. But if I, like, on the road, for example, like for one of those 8:35 Monday hits, when you know you're typically getting done, you're getting to bed past midnight, you're up at like 4 for an early flight, land, and then you have to do a hit. I just sound so different. And it's just like, it's the fatigue that gets to me. So I'm like, gosh, if these guys think it's bad now, like wait until like week 12 version of me right. shows up. So right. I apologize in advance, but I guess I just need to come in studio more often because I think I sound more energetic and I'm, you know,
yeah, you're
pumped about it.
Yeah, you're smiling. You're having a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just wait till deal breakers. anyway, so yesterday we had breaking news in the afternoon. You heard the sounder on, I think, on Waddle and Sylvie. Or Carmen, what time did that trade go down?
Around 4.
Okay,
so
it was on Waddle and Sylvie. And Robert Quinn is now an Eagle.
Yep.
He plays for Philadelphia. And we bought a 4th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean we not only gave up player capital, the Bears are eating like $8 million in salary, which, can we stop at the stupid narrative that the McCaskies are cheap? They may not know how to spend money. They have proven they will spend money. That's what Ryan Pohl said. I'll eat all the salary. Give me a 4th-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I think it's a great trade.
So did I.
I was very surprised when I saw Adam Schefter put that news out that it was a 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to think back to the passive, maybe it wasn't so passive, conversations that were happening throughout the offseason.
They couldn't get a 4th.
Centering around him. Yeah. I mean, that was the dream scenario. I mean, I think a 3rd would have been like over the moon, but that was in April. That mm-hmm. was in March when you're thinking, hey, they ship off Khalil Mack. Are they about to do the same thing with Robert Quinn? Well, I think Ryan Poles made a really good point about that yesterday, that at the time when he was trying to like squash all trade talks back in the offseason, they needed somebody to help this defense get established.
Mm-hmm.
They needed somebody to show you, okay, you need, this is some semblance of a pass rush that you have with Robert Quinn. You couldn't have nothing there as Alan Williams, Matt Eberflus, the entire Bears defensive staff was getting started.
Trying to put their principles in.
Yeah, so you got what you needed to out of Robert Quinn this season. Pohl said he feels confident in the guys behind him. And then you get a 4th-round pick in exchange, of, like you mentioned, and they're picking up about, I think, $700,000 of his salary in exchange
for the Eagles are.
And the Bears are paying about $7.1 million. That that is buying a fourth round pick, and it's the smart move. It's a business savvy move that they were able to make because Ryan Poles is somebody who wants to build through the draft. Now you have a, you know, an early day three pick that gives you the ability to do that and continue to do that.
And again, you may not find Tom Brady there, but Ryan Poles, when he was on with us, he said, the biggest problem with us is we have no depth.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get more depth. That's a depth piece right there.
I mean, I've seen several, even just defensive linemen, several defensive linemen from the fourth round who have panned out. That's good depth. That's a great pick right there. Because you, I mean, we'll find out where it's going to be in a couple months, but an early day three pick could be a lot of different things for this team. Wide receiver depth. You can find a running back in the fourth round. They found one a couple years ago.
Maybe a punt returner.
They might have one of those on the roster. We'll see how that pans out. But yes, yes, a punt returner, some special teams help, anything right like that can be a fourth round pick.
Okay, here's Ryan Poles. Why trade Robert Quinn now?
Yeah, like I said, I think the guys around him, you know, I really do trust in, you know, Gibson. He's had a good start to the season. Muhammad, he's brought intensity and toughness to that group. And even young, you know, Dom Robinson has flashed. Even, you know, he took the ball that Roquan got the other day. And has a promising future, and I think he's going to continue to trend upwards.
So here is Poles on the general principle and the way of getting it done on trading Quinn.
I've hit on this before. Obviously, part of the tough thing with this job and this position are the tough decisions you have to make. And I always feel like there's the emotional side, the human part of it that you know you're affecting not only a man, but also his family, and you're kind of shaking that all up. And I don't take that lightly at all, and I'm sensitive to that. You also know that you're tweaking the fibers of your locker room, and that's a big deal too. And he meant a lot to that locker room, but I'm fully confident that the guys, especially on the defensive side, the Jalen Johnsons, the Eddie Jacksons, the Roquan Smiths, Justin Jones, those guys are going to continue to hold it down and be leaders on that defense and help us continue to move forward. Then on the business side, you know, it just made too much sense for what we're trying to do. It's going to allow us to continue to build a highly competitive roster. I think the other thing, too, on the business side and really the football side is I just really trust, you know, Gibson, Muhammad, Dom Robinson, Kingsley Jonathan, those guys are going to continue to do a good job. And just to kind of finish everything up, I also want to give, you know, Ian Cunningham a lot of credit. He put a lot of work into this. Obviously, his relationship with Howie went a long ways. There's a lot of trust there. And I also want to thank Howie for his part as well.
Okay, so Ian Cunningham goes to his old boss. You got to help us out here. We'll help you out. We'll eat the money. I got to have a four. Howie says, all right, I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Do you think Robert Quinn, who has not had a good start to the season, now again, he's getting doubled. He's getting the best guy against him usually every mm-hmm. week. He's getting chipped. Do you think Robert Quinn has a lot left in the tank and in a new environment with Fletcher Cox and all these other guys, Robert Quinn could be a beast?
Yeah, I do. And I think that a change in environment for him going to a defensive line and a front seven that's already pretty loaded is going to bring the best out of him. I think he's going to be competing for a Super Bowl. And honestly, for a guy like that who you heard Ryan Poles get emotional, not to the point of Roquan Smith getting emotional,
we'll
but you can tell just how difficult this was for him because he knew, to use his words, that he was tweaking the fibers of this locker room when the team's coming off the biggest win of the season, momentum feels like they can contain the momentum, emotions are riding high for this team, to all of a sudden flip that at the, you know, last possible second with a couple days to the trade deadline. It's a tough decision to make. It's a smart business decision, though, and it's a great move for a player who's 32 years old, has probably a couple years left. He's been playing in the NFL for 12 seasons. You know, he's closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning of it. So to give him an opportunity, sending him to a place where he's going to be able to contend, that's doing right by Robert Quinn as well. And so I think that with all the boxes that you can check here, Ryan Poles checked all of them, if not got very close to doing so.
Okay, and there are people who say, well, why didn't you trade him in the spring when you could have gotten more? You have already reported that in the spring they tried to get a fourth. They mm-hmm. couldn't. And so that's why they hung on to him. Here's Paul's on that topic. Did you lose value?
I'm not sure. I know I wanted Robert on this team in the beginning. There weren't many conversations at all. I was transparent with him and his crew about that. I knew the way he played this game, the motor and all that. We needed that to kickstart on how coach, you know, Alan Williams and Flus wanted us to play defense.
So it goes right to what you said. They wanted his leadership in the room.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, if he was truly all in and they were transparent with him, why wasn't he at OTAs and all the mini camp? Why miss all that if our side, or I'm speaking as the organization, has been transparent with you, we'd like you to be here, why not be there to lead in the offseason?
It's a good point, and I don't think that as much as Robert Quinn said, I do believe that he wanted to be in Chicago. I think he thought he wasn't going to be there. So why come to minicamp if you think that you're going to get traded? Why not just pay the fine? And when we talked to him in this, I guess it was the earliest part of training camp before they had actually started practicing, he said he was getting his body and his mind right. He's been doing this for 12 seasons. He doesn't technically need the off-season program, but if you're planning to be here, if you don't think you're going to get traded, then you would show up. But
and
I mean, there was
your teammates need you.
And I think that he was able to quickly make up on that. I mean, you saw just being in that locker room every single day, people gravitate towards Robert Quinn. He is a huge presence who now they're going to have to figure out who takes on that leadership void. I mean, he was a captain. After all that stuff that happened during the offseason, they still put a C on this guy's jersey, which means something here. I mean, these guys really take it seriously where you have season-long captains. It's not something that changes on a week-to-week basis outside of the honorary one.
Which it did with Nagy.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, how do you replace that leadership void that will inevitably be gone now that Robert Quinn's going to be playing for a contending team in Philadelphia?
Here's Roquan Smith after learning that his guy, his leader, Robert Quinn, they're exceptionally close, was traded.
Robert, to the Eagles?
Yeah.
What do you make of Robert's time here? And what do you
Man,
do
yeah, man. Sucks. Yeah, like... Yeah. I'm going to take a second, if you don't mind. No, I have a great deal of respect for that guy, you know. Damn. Crazy.
He was emotional. Mm-hmm. He covered his face with his t-shirt, and then he got up and walked out.
Yes.
Do you think there are other guys in that room that feel the same way he did?
Absolutely. I mean, Robert Quinn wasn't here all that long. It's not like he was a bear for life.
Two and
he
a half
got
years.
Here in April of 2020. But the impact that somebody like that made on this locker room is, you know, you can't measure that. And I also think for someone like Roquan Smith, Quinn was one of the final pieces of the last regime. Like that, you know, there weren't many of them left after Ryan Poles and the new front office came through this year and sent a lot of players out the door, traded Khalil Mack, what his first move that he made as a general manager. And the holdovers, the Robert Quinns, Jalen Johnsons, the Roquan Smiths, they were the only ones that are left. And we're far enough into the season now where it's everybody's part of this 2022 Bears team. But I think for certain players who had been around, who had been through everything previously, that's kind of a reminder that, yeah, the past is truly in the past, and that part of your life is becoming more over than it was previously. Robert Quinn was one of the ones that was with you this entire time, more or less, for Roquan Smith. And I think that's just tough for guys to stomach in the moment, knowing that, okay, like you look around, there really isn't any reminders of what this team was before now.
All right, 312-332-3776. What did the Robert Quinn trade do for your opinion on Ryan Poles? Did you like the deal? And is Roquan the next out the door? We'll ask Courtney about future trades before the deadline on November 1. You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. You're listening to ESPN 1000.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram. Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Deal Breakers is a Shane Norling production. We hand it off to the executive producer of the Fun Fest here on Cap J Hood. Courtney Cronin's in for Hoodie, who's on vacation in the Indiana Dunes. And good morning, Snorbor.
Good morning. I want to start with something Chris Bleck posted on Twitter last week that I found grotesque. You are in a public bathroom, and the person in the stall next to you is barefoot with their foot crossing underneath their stall and into yours. What do you do?
Get out of the stall as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I saw that photo and I saw the foot and it was disgusting.
Well, first of all,
it's not a clean foot.
First of all, how tall is the person in there to be able to have their feet crossed and be all the way into the next stall? What is that?
Like
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
They're sitting on the toilet with a wide base, Cap.
That's just so disgusting and odd. Yeah, I would absolutely.
Trying to find the photo of it so I can relive this horror.
I've never
all
seen
over
it
again.
You get me the hell out of that bathroom as fast as possible.
Even like try to tickle them with a little toilet paper. It's just freak them out.
Don't invite anything like that. Well, like leave.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there not like a U.S. senator or a politician in the Minneapolis airport who put his foot underneath the stall, and that's supposedly some signal? Am I misremembering that?
Signal for what?
That you're trying to make the moves on the person next to you. I'm positive I remember this, like, on CNN.
We need to get Black on here to ask him, because I'm looking at this photo right now. There's toilet paper next to the foot. Did he throw that down there to try to, like, mess with this guy?
See, that's what I would do, is I would take something on my person that I don't care that much about, and I would just throw it by their foot.
Well, if it's on your person, what would you have that you don't care about unless you're going to spit your gum down
there? I don't
know,
if you got, like, a pen. If you got gum, that's even better. Try to spit it onto the
foot. What happens when you have to confront this person, when you inevitably try to book it out of the restroom? And he comes following you.
Yeah, I would not throw anything. I would simply just...
I wouldn't want to be chased by a barefoot man in a bathroom.
I would just get up and get out. Out of here.
No, you needed to get some a water bottle and spray it. Prank him. Then dip out quick. Do a little prank. Go on your flight. Have a laugh.
What if this guy rolls up sitting next to you on the plane? Because the thing about people on airplanes, at least in today's culture, is that a lot of people take their shoes off, so I don't think that barefoot bathroom man would be above just walking onto the airplane as is. And you have to sit next to that guy?
Yeah, I was right.
Larry Craig, yeah.
Larry Craig of Idaho, U.S. Senator, was arrested for lewd conduct at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. There has been complaints about sexual activity in this specific men's restroom. And I guess he put his foot underneath the partition. That was like a signal he was interested.
Is that how that works?
I guess. That's what it says here.
Oh, my gosh.
Senator Larry Craig in the men's room. I just, to be kidding.
Can you imagine, like, the fungus you probably would come away with on your feet? Just, like, in an O'Hare airport bathroom. And, you know, I know that they have a great custodial staff there. I'm in those bathrooms a lot.
Like, if you live in community dorms in college, you need to have something on your feet when you go into the bathroom. And you know everybody on that floor. The O'Hare bathroom?
I change in the airport a lot because a lot of times I'll fly in, like, an early morning flight and then go to a game, all things like that. And I have had to change in airport bathrooms. You always lay something down, whether it's a T-shirt, whether it's a towel, to stand on.
Correct.
You do not stand on the bare floor with your bare feet.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Gross. Not even with socks.
Disgusting.
The 5-second rule doesn't apply here?
Oh, my goodness.
No.
Certainly not.
You get hepatitis from that.
No shot. Yeah, a bunch of people are tweeting at me. Yes, the senator story happened. Yes!
I knew I remembered that. Check.
All right. This is an interesting one. It's a real story that I found this morning, and I could not believe it. You and your spouse have a German heritage and are expecting a son. Your spouse is very big on family heritage and wants to name your son after their great-grandfather, who made enough money through his businesses that the family was able to immigrate to America. There is one problem. The great-grandfather's name is Adolf. Your spouse is steadfast that this would not be an issue, and they are 100% committed to naming your son Adolf. Would this be a marriage deal breaker for you?
Yes, there's zero. Well, first of all, I'm Jewish. There is zero chance that's going to happen. But whether I was or wasn't, my wife is not. No, we're not naming our child Adolf. Sorry.
Shay, do you know where this couple resides?
I don't. It didn't have the state or the place on it. All I have is the information. No, they're in America.
Okay, actually, so it's the United States?
It may have been Canada.
Okay, well, according to the internet, because the internet's never been wrong, the name Adolf is banned in Germany, Malaysia, Mexico, and New Zealand. It is not banned in the United States. I don't know about Canada, but there's other countries that have already said absolutely not, and they decide for you. Yes, that's a deal breaker.
Wow.
Rewind. So, is she already pregnant?
Yes. And then you know it's a boy.
Shouldn't they have had the name conversation if this was such a meaningful thing to her before she got pregnant?
Correct.
So they're already screwed because the baby's coming one way or the other.
Correct. Like, hey, honey, just letting you know, if we have a child, a son, I want to name that son this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa!
And it's not like she can't be there because she is the one giving birth.
Correct.
I would assume there's some surrogate in the situation. So it's not like you can just like sign the birth certificate with the name that you choose instead of that one and like pull the wool over.
Correct.
Unfortunate situation. These are conversations that should happen at the very beginning stages.
That's a first date thing? On the first date? Hey,
if it is so meaningful to her,
Adolf.
Yes. If it is so meaningful that you name your son Adolf.
And not the first date, because there may not be date two. Once you start hanging out.
That'd be a great thing for this guy.
Yeah. Once you start hanging out.
Dodge that bullet early.
You know, a month and you go, you like, it's assumed you're hanging out every weekend and a lot. You want kids?
Yeah.
I want to name our son if we have one. That's not happening. Run for the hills, dude. Go ahead, Shay.
All right. You and your spouse have synergized your careers, meaning your money works for each other. Your spouse, whoever, tells you they are no longer romantically interested in you, but doesn't want to separate because of the strain it would put on your professional lives. They do say they want both of you to explore other options romantically. How would you react to this?
Say it one more time. I got to hear the exact machinations of this.
You and your spouse have synergized your careers, so your money works for each other. Your spouse tells you they no longer are romantically interested in you, but they don't want to separate because it would put too much strain on your professional lives. They do say they want both of you to explore other options romantically. How would you react to this?
Well, I guess if I agreed to it, then I'm cool with her seeing other people, and she's cool with me seeing other people. But if she suggests it and I'm not cool with it, no, that's a deal breaker. I can't go to work every day and go, hey, Courtney, how are you today? Who'd you date last night? Where were you? Why are you late? You spend the night somewhere? I couldn't do it.
If it worked for Frank and Claire Underwood on House of Cards, I guess it could work for other people.
I liked Claire Underwood.
I did, too.
That's Robin Wright.
Yeah, she was a killer on that show.
She was
awesome.
Awesome.
Best character on that show.
She was.
But, yeah, I mean, yes, probably a deal breaker.
Yes. I don't get the whole open marriage thing.
Different strokes for different folks, I guess, is probably the PC way of saying that.
Yes. Shay.
Do we have time for one more, Kevin?
One more, real quick.
All right. Every time you have your father-in-law over for dinner, he makes crude sexual jokes about his wife and about your spouse, his child. And he makes these jokes in front of your children. You've made it clear to your spouse that you're very uncomfortable with the jokes, but they say it's fine. He's just from a different time. So how do you handle this?
Oh, I hate that. Just from a different time.
That doesn't, right.
It doesn't excuse poor behavior.
Right.
Gotta tell all my Southside relatives, just from a different time does not mean that we can have this sort of conversation at the dinner table.
Correct.
My goodness.
Guess
we're having solo family dinners for the holidays.
Right.
Then.
Occasionally we're having the father-in-law over. Occasionally. It would not be a deal breaker for me. Now, if it was slurs and all, different story. Crude joke. All right, great. Yeah. Steve's coming over tonight, and I got to deal with a night of just awful jokes. Whatever. If I really cared about my spouse, I would deal with it. Not a deal breaker.
So the crude jokes you're fine with, if you were like a virulent racist, you would be like, all right, we're out.
You're gone. Or I'm gone. One of the two. Figure it out. There was a free thought answer on Jeopardy. We played free thought with all of our fine listeners a couple weeks ago. Courtney is going to get to play that free thought game with us next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Chain at TV last night. Coach Wonstedt, Alex Brown, Lance Briggs, me, John Shipman, our boss. And Chip, you know, he's very easy to work for. But he won't, if you're going to, like, if we're going to wear costumes for Halloween or ugly Christmas sweaters,
mm-hmm.
either the whole crew does, all four of us, or nobody. He doesn't want, you know, me in a either like a shirt jacket or a sport coat and jeans, Wani in a three-piece suit, and Alex and Lance dressed like Darth Vader. He just doesn't want that. So he puts out the text about, if we're going to do this, everyone wears one or nobody. I'm the first to respond. And I said, no costume, I'm out. His response, okay, no costumes. Immediately, Alex Brown and Lance firing. So effing Cap doesn't want to wear one, so we all get screwed out of wearing costumes. Wani doesn't want to wear one either.
What do they want to go as? Have they told you?
They have not. But Lance takes it serious. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Lance listens every day. Lance texts me. I think he was Darth Vader last year. He was something like that.
Full head-on mask, the whole thing. Can you make out what someone's saying with that, or does it sound distorted? I don't know how those things work.
I'm trying to remember exactly what he wore. Somebody text me from over there and tell me. He might not have had the whole face shield on. He had some goofy costume on. Alex had something on. And I think last year Olin had some kind of costume, but not like crazy. And I was just dressed like me. And so now they want all of us. So they want me to go as Mr. Clean.
I was trying to rack my brain. Can you do some sort of themed costume where all four of you are part of the same theme?
I can't get those guys to coordinate what they want to eat during the show, let alone costumes. No shot.
Okay.
So I don't know what to go.
I was going to think that you guys could all do the Anchorman stuff. That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
There's four of you. So yeah,
that's
that
a
would
great
work.
Idea.
That's a great idea.
I'm surprised we haven't seen like TV networks, local and or national, do that during Halloween.
I've never seen that.
Me neither.
That whammy. Yeah.
So now you're into
Cap,
it. Now see. So
Cap
they
is literally Ron Burgundy too. This is perfect.
That would be awesome. That's a great idea.
I like that idea.
That is a very good idea. So we'll see what I end up doing. Zach LaVine last night scored 28 and 35 minutes. I'm not worried about his knee. He looks good. He's attacking the rim. He's rising up from three. Six threes, I believe, last night. DeMar is doing a really good job passing the ball out of double teams. Vooch is playing really good basketball. When they run the offense inside to him and he kicks it out, you're getting open looks for Patrick Williams knocked down a three. You saw threes, as I said, from Zach, Alex Caruso, Kobe White. Io was 4 for 4 from three the other day. I'm good with how Zach's playing so far.
And he even admitted to it last night that they're not the most high-volume three-point shooting team, and the stats would support that, considering they're the second lowest in the NBA. But he can be a part of jump-starting that. You know, season-high 23 points for him. I think that matches, you know, I think he'd hit that one of his earlier games, the three that he's played in the season. So,
Zach, yes, Levine. He had 28 last night.
So I look at this situation. You wonder about his knee and, like, is this going to be a problem? I know he said he's not close to dunking yet and that that's probably going to take some time. Him coming off the bench, them kind of slowly working him into this role, that seems like a deliberate way to make sure that he won't be missing time. If I'm reading that correctly.
Yes. Okay. Again, he says it's just managing it and being smart. He won't commit to back-to-backs.
Mm-hmm. And that's, and I think that that's notable, and that's what you expect.
Correct. We got spoiled here, and I'm as guilty as anyone, when Michael played 82 every year. If he missed, it was a major deal. It's not the way it is today.
Correct.
Guys are more careful with their body. They take Veterans Day at practice. Mm-hmm. In the NFL, you'll see their veteran guy. He's excused today.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is what it is. So, are you worried, Snorling, at all about him? The bench was awesome last night.
The bench looked great. Andre Drummond pregame saying he's the best rebounder of the last century was a bit much to me, but I mean, it's hard to dispute. At least he knows where his skill set lies. Levine, I'm getting less and less worried about each and every day. I think they're still going to manage him on back-to-backs, but on a nightly basis, if the knee's not going to hold him back, he can play 35 minutes and be really effective offensively, then I'm a lot less worried about this team than I was a week and a half ago when the season started.
Yeah, the loss to Cleveland, third game in four nights, back-to-back, so you come from, who'd they lose to on Friday? Washington. Fly home, home opener. Zach's first game, you get drilled. Everyone's panicked. And then you drill Boston on Monday after being down 19 in the first quarter, and you win by 18, I think it was, mm-hmm. 120 to 102. And now you come back and you beat an entertaining but Indiana team.
They're really bad. We can be honest. They are fun to watch, but they're really bad.
Like Benedict Mathurin and Tyrese Halliburton. Like, there's some good players there. They're just not a very good team. Now you go to San Antonio. Then you come home. I don't remember who they have. And then they go to Brooklyn to play the net. Like, every night's a challenge. So it'll be fun. You're locked in on football, but
it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to watch early season NBA. Like, because I love when the storylines incite panic, like with the Sixers starting 0-3. Mm-hmm. Like, I love what Doc said about them the other day, that they are nowhere near ready to compete right now. Mm-hmm. And it's true. But, like, for, you know, it's harder in an 82-game season to truly buy into those things early on. But I always love seeing what they end up becoming. Because the Nets right now, and people freaking out about Ben Simmons, and is this going to be same story all over again? And Kyrie Irving saying, relax, right. Let the guy be who he is. That's, I feel like it's like a living, breathing ecosystem, the NBA season, where these things, you know, they're malleable. They change all the time. And I feel like for this Bulls team, you were mentioning the bench, 43 bench points last night. Where was that last season? That's double their average from last season.
Correct.
So, and Zach LaVine coming off the bench, too, in that sort of role, especially with that fourth quarter when, you know, the Pacers nearly were like, they closed the game and I think the line was 13.5 and there were a lot of people panicking. That's a good role right now. And it's like figuring out how he can fit in here until his health is fully where you need it to be at, where the knee is no longer even being talked about. That's not a bad way to do it.
No. And then interior points. I think the over-under on interior points last night was 44.5. And Kendall said, you have to go over to be a really good team. You have to go inside first. Go inside out. They got 46. Interior points. They had 30 at the break. They did not do as good a job in the second half getting the ball inside. And all of a sudden you blinked and went, they're only up 4. And then they pulled away late. Mm-hmm. So it's a good win.
Is the bench mob back?
Potentially.
It kind of feels like it, right? The bench came in, like Boston, the Boston game's a perfect example. You're down 19, the bench comes in, and they just killed Boston's second unit.
Dragic is a great signing.
Yeah, he's been awesome.
How about him twice? He penetrates, flips it up, and Drummond just runs to the rim and gets it and smashes it home. One right at the buzzer of the shot clock. Yeah, I really like that bench mob as well. 312-332-3776. We have the Cap and J Hood cut of the day brought to you by our friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. A few more thoughts from Courtney. We'll be right back.